Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 tonight, we'll be dealing with the topic of abortion, a child's worth. In the next several weeks, I want to give several things in our world and a biblical perspective on that. We live in a world that is very confused. And many Christians are confused on things. Now, I don't believe that many Christians would be necessarily confused on this very topic. But this industry is a horrible, vile industry. And as I spent hours studying for this, I was sickened by what I read. And I looked at, there's some of those sites, I said, well, I want to make sure that what I'm reading is viable evidence and not just conspiracy. And so if there were some things I read, I said, if I don't get it from a credible source, I don't want to take it into account. I want us to give a perspective what God thinks upon the value of life. In this incident here of the value of life, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it reads here in Jeremiah 1, 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. As we look at this topic tonight, I want to challenge you. All right, as we go through and look at this information and what God thinks upon the value of life. Here's an illustration for you. The year was 1857, and all eyes were focused on the U.S. Supreme Court. Seven of the nine justices decided that a black slave named Dred Scott was nothing more than the property of his owner. He had no personal rights as a citizen, no protection under the law. Justice Roger Taney, the man who delivered the opinion of the court, said that slaves were not included and were not intended to be included in the category of citizen as used in the Constitution. Today, in 2021, the country is in the midst of another cultural war. Almost 40 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the abortion law of all 50 states. This is a pastor in the states quoting this. They decided that a woman's right to privacy gives her the right to abort her unborn baby for just about any reason. How could they do this? In their opinion, the baby in the womb is not really a person and is not guaranteed the right to life. The baby becomes nothing more than the property of the mother to choose whether it lives or dies. However, just 1 year prior in 1972, the Bald Eagle Protection Act fined an individual for killing an unborn eagle $500,000 plus a jail term for destroying an unborn eagle and its egg. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 and verse 25, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They put more value upon a bald eagle than they did upon God's precious creation of a young, unborn child. That very momentous decision that they made down in the States, on average, more than 1 million babies have been aborted every year in the United States. Total, around 41 million. And it averages out to about one baby. This is just for the United States. About one baby every 20 seconds of every day for 29 years. This was up to the time of this writing. 335 abortions for every 1,000 live births. A baby has a 1 in 4 chance of being destroyed before birth. These are precious children that God loves. There's an industry that hates life. And in this industry, we ought to have the perspective that abortion is murder. Now, as I'm speaking about this tonight, if an individual has had an abortion, there's forgiveness. We're not against them. We all make mistakes. But we live in evil days, and we ought to have a perspective of what God thinks. The estimation by the masses is that an unborn child is not a life. It's just a fetus, it's cells. I'd like you to look with me at a number of passages of Scripture. We'll start in Deuteronomy 30, but before we go there, let's say a quick word of prayer. I need God's help, and so do you. As we look at this and how deep this issue gets and how horrific this very industry goes into every aspect of society. It's more than just a clinic in the back alleys or just some clinic where a child is disposed of. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. And Lord Jesus, I am so thankful for your grace and mercy. And Father, if there's anyone tonight watching that has had an abortion in the past, Lord, I pray that they would get healing and hope. Lord, this is not trying to judge, but it is a desire to get a biblical worldview of what the Bible says. And God, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be fixed upon you alone. God, we have value, we have purpose. And Lord, I pray that we would understand that we have value and we have purpose. And God, that in that, as we see the truths of your word illuminated and manifested to us, that God, we find our purpose in thee. God, I can't do this. I need your help tonight. Guide my lips and my speech and my thoughts, that everything would be glorifying to your name. I love you. I'm so thankful for life. Thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, may we be your ambassadors to a world of darkness that needs you. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. God's desire is that humans would multiply. If you want to turn there, Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. I'll have a number. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to finish that this evening, but I hope so. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16. And then I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. God says, I want you to multiply. He says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, just a few verses later, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Satan is a master counterfeiter, and his plan is death and destruction, as John 10:10 discusses. The modern-day prophet of Satan was the late Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood. She is not scorned by the liberals because their agenda is her agenda. Her aim was the depopulation and mass murder of defectives and, quote-unquote, stupid people, as she said. She stated, the most merciful thing that a family does to one of its infant members is to kill it. She wanted the sick and the diseased to just die. Her goal, as was stated in her book, Woman and the New Race, stated one option removing unfit people was through birth control, sterilization, and segregation. She was all for bringing in a superior race, just as was Hitler. One gentleman, Galton, who's the one that defined the word eugenics in the 1800s, he says, eugenics is a study of all agencies under human control which can improve or impair the racial quality of future generations. He was a half-cousin to Charles Darwin. Evolution is the very opposite of God's word. Margaret Sanger, she was a white supremacist. She was a racist. And her view on the African Americans says, we do not want word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population, and the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. Her desire was that, and hence why in the States and in others, they put abortion clinics in minority neighborhoods to get rid of the people that they did not want. The vast majority of the abortion vendors have set up shop, as is stated, in minority neighborhoods, which can be seen in the scarce statistics available at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Though they are only 13% of the female population, African Americans, this is in the States, made up 38% of all abortions tracked in the year 2016. It's about eugenics. God talks about the value of all human life. It does not matter in the color of your skin, because you are still a human and you're still created by God and you have worth. I want to look at a number of passages of Scripture tonight, because God tells us what is life. I'd like you to look with me at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. To whom does this apply? Every person. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. You are created in the image of God, and you are of absolute worth to God. You're valuable. You're precious. We come to Psalm 139. I'd like you to look with me here. It tells even some more. Even in the womb, you have a personality. Psalm 139, 13. Verse 13 of Psalm 139. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God formed me. God formed you. And we understand that a child will have an impact upon succeeding generations. In Genesis 25, 23, and the Lord said unto her, this is Isaac and Rebekah, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So here, even before, while they're in the womb, God says, I've already got a plan for your life. You realize this, that Samson's mother was to be careful of all that she ate, because God had a plan for Samson. He says, but he said unto me, because, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. The child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. God had sanctified, set apart Samson for a special purpose from within the womb. How precious is every child. Now I want to think about this. Look with me at Luke chapter 1:31. When is a child a human? Luke 1:31. When does that baby become a human baby? And is it not just some cells, or is it not just a fetus? I will have some quotes tonight which will reference the word fetus or fetal. I don't like that, because it dehumanizes what God has made. So I will use it in quotes only, but that is not my intention, nor do I advocate for the use of the word fetus, because it is a baby. So you will hear me state fetus or fetal in quotes, but it's only for the sake of giving direct quote to what is stated only. So just to give you a heads up on that. And our world wants to dehumanize a baby because it can make a lot of money off of it, and I will explain that. Luke 1:31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. So he is a child from the womb. From the moment that child is conceived, it is a living human being. And you were created, as I read there in Psalm 139, you were created in just the way God made me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What about someone that comes out, and if the mother has not, if a mother hasn't partaken in bad substances or other things, and that child comes out and maybe it has a disability or it has some deformity, is that child a mistake? No. It's still a human being and valued by God. God says wonderfully made, fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a purpose for that child. Job 31:15, did not he that made me in the womb make him, and did not one fashion us in the womb? God created my members within the very womb of my mom and in your mom. He knew all about you. And he was Creator God from the moment you were in your mother's stomach. Psalm 22:10. I will cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Hallelujah. And the entire growth process or the design process of God is orchestrated by God. Ecclesiastes 11:5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. How do we know that those two cells that come together know how to make bones and everything else? It's a miracle of God's process. We find in Luke 1, look with me at Luke 1:41, if you still find yourself in the book of Luke, that child in the womb, it has a personality. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. It rejoices from the very womb. We find also that the plan for your life starts from the womb. Isaiah would say, the Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. God's plan for your life started when you were within your mom before you ever knew it. In Isaiah 49:5, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. God had a grand plan for your life. In Galatians 1:15, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Friend, if we don't understand, and as we live our life, we have to have at the core of our heart, of our being, I have purpose. And God's got a purpose for my life. And God wants to do something amazing in my life. I'm going to give some statistics here on the results of an abortion. Should a lady decide to have an abortion? I'm against the practice, against the sin of this. But there is a wicked industry out there. The top officials. And I'm not talking about necessarily the workers and the clients. They're many times the products of the news sources and the worldview that they have. Their minds are skewed by a wicked and lascivious nation, an immoral nation. They've bought into the lies and humanistic agenda of a culture that hates God. Many will remain willfully ignorant about life starting at conception, not questioning the status quo of the day. This is the only logical, but we understand that life begins at conception. It's the only logical conclusion you could have. Every other conclusion that you would have is really untenable and illogical. And should a lady opt for an abortion because of a crisis or coercion from another, they deserve our compassion, a shoulder of comfort, not condemnation. They didn't understand that the act was sinful, but they ought to be able to have a place of safety. Understand, take them to the Word of God and say, you know what? There's forgiveness. There's hope. There's healing. And God does give forgiveness. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Verses 9 through 11, in verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. I don't want to, Satan will say, you don't want to go to church. You've defiled yourself. You've killed a baby. You've murdered a baby, and all sorts of lies that a person can believe to keep them out of church. But my friend, this is not that place. That's not the God of the Bible that I know. We've all made mistakes. This place ought to be a healing place. And as I think about and I talk further about this, the medical facts as the effect of an abortion, this is from a purely secular position. I'm not sure if you're able to read that. I'll read those for you. Physical risks, life-threatening dangers of abortion. Should a lady go through with an abortion, they have a higher death risk, up to 7 times higher suicide, compared to pregnant women who had their babies. Pregnant women who aborted were 3.5 times more likely to die in the following year, 1.6 times more likely to die of natural causes, 6 to 7 times more likely to die of suicide, 14 times more likely to die from homicide, 4 times more likely to die of injuries related to accidents. Another study found that compared to women who gave birth, women who had had abortions had a 62% higher risk of death from all causes for at least 8 years after their pregnancies. Deaths from suicides and accidents were most prominent, with deaths from suicides being 2.5 times higher. Causes of death within a week, leading causes of abortion-related maternal deaths within a week of abortion are hemorrhage, infection, embolism, anesthesia, complication, and undiagnosed ectopic pregnancies. Cancer, significant risk of breast cancer, cervical cancer, lung cancer, probably due to a heavier smoking pattern after abortion. The immediate complications, about 10% suffer immediate complications, 1/5 are life-threatening. Teens face a higher risk, 10 times more likely to attempt suicide. There is major mental issues. There was a very big study, the British Journal of Psychiatry, Abortion and Mental Health. On page 182, you see page 183 up there, but I'll read page 182, a quote from it. The results of this analysis indicated that women who have had an abortion experience an 81% higher risk of mental health problems of various forms, when compared with women who had not had an abortion. Abortion is associated with an enhanced risk of experiencing mental health problems. It goes on to say, page 183, based on data extracted from 22 studies, abortion is associated with moderate to highly increased risk of psychological problems subsequent to procedure. The magnitude of effects derived varied based on the comparison group: no abortion, pregnancy delivered, unintended pregnancy delivered, etc., and the type of problem examined: alcohol use, misuse, marijuana use, anxiety, depression, suicidal behaviors. Again, this 81% risk of mental health problems. Going on from that, let me read this next one. This data, great care was taken to assess accurately the risks from the most methodologically sophisticated studies, and the quantitatively based conclusions reflect data gathered on over 750,000 women, 750,000 women with whom they've studied, and they've found unbelievable increases. Not only that, there's a tremendous increase in substance abuse disorders of all sorts. We find ourselves in an industry that is really, if you want to think about it, the Molech industry. Remember reading the Bible about Baal and Molech and Chemosh, with whom they sacrificed their children? Baal was associated with the worship of the sun, moon, and stars, and it was also associated with immorality. And in that immorality, they would also sacrifice children, as they also did under Chemosh. Jeremiah 32:35 discusses it. They passed to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech. The reference, as David Sorensen, the reference to Molech was of the pagan idol in which infant children were sacrificed. It was usually a large, hollow, metallic idol with a large, gaping mouth. A fire was kindled therein, and pagans would sacrifice an infant there to appease this pagan demonic god. And you can find Leviticus 18, Jeremiah 32, and others talk about this. But really, the result is they give their child, they let the child be burned alive to this pagan god, that they would be blessed financial prosperity and other such things. And we find the exact same thing today for those who are receiving these abortions. Financial prosperity, medical research. It is a horrible, horrible, horrible thing. I'd like you to look with me at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 2. And God judges a nation wherein there is such atrocities. Now this, in Leviticus chapter 20, is talking about the worship to Molech. But in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 2, verse 2 of Leviticus 20, again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family and will cut him off, and all that go a whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. We find here in this passage of Scripture, God to kill these children, to number one in idolatry, but to kill this life, God was very harsh. Do you realize in Exodus chapter 21, if an ox killed a man, say you have an animal that's an ox, and your ox kills a person, that ox is to be killed. But a man was not to be killed for an animal's death. For instance, if I accidentally kill an animal, my neighbor's animal or whatever, I am to restore another animal to them, but I'm not to be killed. God puts the highest priority upon humanity. God's mercy of redemption is to humans. It's not to animals. Humans have value. I'm not talking about abusing animals, though. Please don't get me wrong on that. That is not what I'm advocating. But I am saying here that God gives a preeminent focus upon humans. He did tell Adam to, keep the garden and, take care of the earth. Be a good steward of it. And some of these abortions are committed by an individual who was immoral and maybe had an unknown father. Let me read this next one. It's all about the money. Fetal tissue is an irreplaceable resource for research that has led to numerous scientific and medical advances and contributed to the development of new therapies for many devastating diseases, including COVID-19. The pro-abortion members of Congress wrote, adding the Trump administration's ban on taxpayer-funded research using the body parts of aborted babies continue to threaten scientific and medical advances. And that quote there comes from Breitbart. It goes on to say that this is during the President Trump's administration. Policy was politically motivated and unnecessary, the lawmaker said, claiming as well that tissue from aborted babies is required to create treatments for Zika, HIV, COVID-19, as well as amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, spinal cord injury, and Parkinson's disease. So again, they use these for medical advances, and they substantiated under the stipulation that it helps in so many different areas. So it's okay to murder the child because there's so much medical products. There's so much medical advantage, advantage for this very thing. And I was reading another article, and this comes from Randall O'Brandon in Life News. In the process of an investigation of the fetal tissue markets, however, panel investigators found just how deeply entrenched many of the nation's top universities are in the abortion industry. The depth of this entanglement between many universities and abortion clinics has been exposed. The dual role, what happens is you have medical school faculty and abortion clinic staff. A medical school faculty will serve in an abortion clinic and have an abortion clinic sometimes next to a university so the parts, the baby parts, can be given to that university for research. The list of universities on the list of those ordering and using fetal tissue for research contains the names of some of the most prestigious institutions of higher learning in the country. Now, this is down in the States, and I'm going to list this for you. As you see, there's some very, very prestigious universities there using these children. I only put this information up there to let us know that the wickedness of our society, the darkness, people need Christ. There's also a 2018 report at CNS News, I'll leave that up there for your noted FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, signed a contract with ABR, which is some company, a month earlier and paid the company $15,900 for the fetal tissue from abortions. Just as they used to buy and sell slaves, we're buying and selling the parts of humans and calling it medical research. As I was looking further in this, I didn't necessarily intend to go this direction, but fetal tissue has been used since the 1930s for vaccine development and more recently to help advance stem cell research and treatments for degenerative diseases such as Parkinson's. Researchers typically take tissue samples from a fetus that has been aborted under conditions permitted by law and grow cells from the tissue in petri dishes. Many of the uses of fetal tissue and much of the debate are not new. It's just that the public is finding out about it, said Insu Hayun, associate professor of bioethics at Case Western Reserve University. And in this, this one here was a NBC article. And what they're saying is the fact that because this, this is what we've done for ages. You're just finding out about it, so it's socially acceptable because it's what we've been doing for ages. It's okay. And they go on to say, in addition, the ways that fetal tissues are allowed to be obtained and used are not new either. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services released guidelines on the topics in the 90s. Now, I want to talk about something else, a compromising religion. Here's the next one. This comes here from the North Dakota Health Department. The non-replicating viral vector vaccine produced by Johnson & Johnson did require the use of fetal cell cultures, specifically PERC6, in order to produce and manufacture the vaccine. The Catholic Church and the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission have both stated that receiving the vaccine that required fetal cell lines for production or manufacture is morally acceptable. Now, the PERC6 cell line was isolated. It was an isolated retina from a fetus. They brought the baby out alive and removed the retina from it. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable in the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." As we look at this idea, there was quite a bit of backlash during the last administration down in the States because there was a decision to cut funding for research that used fetal tissue. And there was a lot of people pushing back. You know, hey, we can't do this. You're gonna hurt us. You're gonna hurt research. We can't advance. Medical science can't proceed forward with what they want to do. But in Psalm 50:16-18, "But in the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee?" It's a world that hates God. There was also another cell line, as I was reading, and I'll read a little bit more. This cell line is used in a number of vaccines today for testing, the HEK-293 cell line. It's widely used, and this is what the National Research Council, Government of Canada's website states. In the 1970s, Dr. Frank Graham developed the HEK-293 cell line, which is now widely used for academic research and in the pharmaceutical and biotechnology industries around the world. The NRC, National Research Council, here in Canada, has developed proprietary versions of the HEK-293 cell line, referred to as those, as you see. Going on from this, Alvin Wong, who was a Catholic PhD student, he wrote an article. And he was trying to find, because there is a statement that the HEK-293 cell line is immortal. So back, which HEK, human embryonic kidney, the 293rd experiment. Doesn't mean necessarily 293 kids were killed, but it does mean it was the 293rd experiment that they did on a kidney, and I'll talk about that here shortly. He did an investigation to say what was the history of the family with which this abortion occurred. "My investigation," he says, "began with asking a worldwide contributor of cell lines who supplied these in the United States. The company that did replied that they do not know and recommended that the depositor of the cell line be consulted. In concurrent communication with the depositor, Dr. F. L. Graham of McMaster University, Ontario, I was also unable to determine the origin of HEK293, except that it was unlikely to be from in vitro fertilization since the cell line was developed around 1973. Email message, December 18, 2002. He goes on to say, the cells, in examining the issue further, it appears that in all probability, cells were obtained from the embryo of a willfully induced abortion. Not only is it easier administratively to receive cells from induced abortions of normal pregnancies than from spontaneous miscarriages, it may also be scientifically more advantageous to use tissue from induced abortions, which are healthier since the majority of fetuses are used genetically, are usually genetically normal and aborted for social reasons. He goes on to say, and this is again on his document, he says, we do not have moral certainty about the source. There is no information assuring the end user of the moral licitness of its source. The obligation is on those who developed and distributed this line, 293, to demonstrate without a doubt that the cells were obtained in a morally licit manner, and not for the end user to prove the opposite. I argue that we must assume HEK293 was developed from a willfully aborted embryo, and it is true. But I want you to understand here that many churches this is what he said. I skipped that. I didn't put that on there. I apologize. The next one. But the public consensus states, and this is from Nebraska Medicine, their kind of health thing. As a practicing Catholic, I think the moral balance of indirectly benefiting from an abortion that occurred 50 years ago in order to take a vaccine that will prevent further death in the community is a no-brainer, especially considering that so many of the over 620,000 American deaths have occurred in the most vulnerable and marginalized in our society. We need to focus on saving lives right now. We need to care for our neighbors. And so in this truth here, we have as a fact, they're saying because it was murder back then, it's still okay today. Now, as I'm going through this, I want us to understand, as Romans 14:5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And you have to make your judgment based upon the word of God, whether it is acceptable. And there are a number of the leading vaccines today that use aborted fetal cells or fetal cell lines. MRC5 is a product in a number of vaccines. Now, I want us to think about, again, the ethics. The Word of God tells us life is precious, don't kill it. Dr. Joseph Mengele, a Nazi doctor, committed on countless victims. And in this, in his horrific experiments, in March 1988, I want to put this up for you, in March 1988, Lee Thomas, the chief of the Environmental Protection Agency, barred from an EPA report on a particular toxic gas any data that the Nazis acquired in experiments on a concentration camp subjects with toxic gases. It's not acceptable to receive the data from World War II and the Holocaust because of the atrocities of how we gathered this data. And yet today we murder millions of babies yearly and call it acceptable. There's an inequity there. It's a wicked mind. So what we do is dehumanize the child and call it a fetus. Now, I was doing some further research on that HEK293 and the PERC6 cell lines. The family history is not known. But once a particular, and also here, once they create that manufacturing line of these particular cells, the manufacturer doesn't want to change it because it's so expensive to change the process. As I was looking at a number of resources, America's frontline doctors noted something about this HEK293. The details of each HEK293's brutal and, from all appearances until very recently, largely undisclosed origins explain the company's deep discomfort. Contrary to nearly a half century of misrepresentation and obfuscation, HEK293's creation did not arise from an abortion as everyday people understand it. to harvest a viable embryonic kidney, sufficiently healthy children old enough to have adequately developed kidneys must be removed from the womb alive, typically by cesarean section, have their kidneys cut out. It takes place without anesthesia for the child, which would lessen the viability of the organs. The deliberate killing of an unwanted child, a little girl in the case of HEK 293, took place in the torturous manner did precisely to obtain her organs for research. The harvest of her organs was the direct cause of her death, prior to which she was a living child outside the womb. That is what they use in the tests for the vaccines today. In August, the University of Pittsburgh effectively made a horrifying admission about this very thing. They say it was an abortion that happened in 1972, and those lines are immortal. They brought that child outside the womb and they murdered it. Planned Parenthood and a number of pharmaceutical companies, medical researchers, universities, and such. They bring these babies out, bring them out in a wet bag formula, a wet bag thing they call it, but they bring them outside the body and they harvest the organs and they immediately take them next door to the research and they sell these parts. Jesus didn't come to die for just us who were outside the womb. He died from everyone from the moment you are two cells to the moment you die and into eternity. You're precious. I'm not trying to be graphic tonight. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to tell you what to do with your body. But friend, we have a wickedness in our world. People need Jesus. The only thing that's going to correct a worldview that could murder such a baby. Now, there are other options out there. I did find this one doctor, Sound Choice Pharmaceuticals in Seattle, Washington. She no longer participates in the murder of babies. She doesn't, not no longer. I don't know if she ever has, but Dr. Dreischer, and I got some information from her as well on this. If God created you and knew you before you were ever born, don't you think you have purpose? He has a grand plan for your life. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins. He seeks to carry out some work through you on this earth. In order to truly have a fulfilling life as a Christian, you must make Christ your priority. Psalm 37, 4 and 5. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Friend, there is no way. And when I got out of high school, I had no problem with abortion. I was a Christian at the time, but I'd bought into the secular ideology. I thought if they want to do it, it's their own choice. I didn't know. I couldn't quite equate how science and the Bible, I couldn't bring them together in my mind. I was confused on a number of things. But I needed to commit my way into the Lord. I needed to get in the Word of God. I was also in a very, very weak church that didn't place a preeminence upon God's Word. To maintain an industry bent on murdering life and selling the proceeds of murder and knowingly participating in the research is to make one complicit with such evil. Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I like what Wong says. He was that doctor there. It may be argued that the end user does not cooperate in the evil of abortion since the incriminating event is in the past. However, abortion is an ongoing practice, which should be universally opposed. It does not make sense for pro-life laboratory researchers to appropriate the byproducts of abortion. And the demand for fetal tissue is created by a life science industry growing at a rapid pace, not just obtaining embryonic stem cells, but also replacing and improving on cell lines such as HEK293 for research and for use in the pharmaceutical industry. We must avoid collaborating and, as far as possible, not even give an impression of such with those who exploit directly aborted fetuses and exploitation forewarned in an Evangelium Vitae. They need aborted babies for research. What they state they need. They don't need them, but they state that. As Psalm 36 says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. And that is true. Friend, a number of vaccines and studies today are done using murdered humans. I'd encourage you to do some studies on it if you're interested. I have some more information here. I'm not against vaccines, but I am against an industry that wants to kill a human. We ought to have the perspective of God. Life is precious and valuable. We have to protect it. How do we go forward? We tell people about Jesus. That God, Christ is the answer. I'll have a time of invitation this evening. It's kind of not my traditional sermon that I would give, more of an informative thing, teaching. But to have a biblical worldview, we have to see that child is precious and you have purpose. And God wants to use you in a marvelous way. However God can use you, I trust that He would as you yield Himself.